Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. Thanks for joining me on the program this evening. This is Mudtoe Sasquatch. You're listening to Mudtoe at Midnight. Because I hope that's what you're listening to, because there's been a little bit of a freak out at blogtalkradio.com this evening. And so I don't know how long it's just this evening, or I know it's this evening. Some of our With Insights channel programs have sort of been shifted around the slot that's allocated for them. It's been coming up on the computer. Next is, Ananda of Love show. And if you've tuned in expecting to hear that, my apologies. But that was on the computer instead of this show. So I don't know exactly what's going on. I'll have to get Figgy and find it out. But this is the time I'm usually here, so hopefully you have come here expecting to hear me and aren't terribly disappointed that you're not hearing somebody else. This is one of my world-famous cell phone episodes because I am away from my home and my little studio, so I have to call in the show. So hopefully that doesn't ruin the experience for you. In fact, that things are a little bit tinny. I'll try to fight through that and entertain you as best I can. I don't know why I'm feeling abnormally freaked out by where I'm sitting right now. As every time I do one of these shows, as long-time listeners will be able to tell you, it's a little bit funny because I'm in my parents' house and they're sleeping right now. I don't want to wake them up. So I'm just hypersensitive to where I am in the house and how loud I'm talking and all that. I'm talking in sort of maybe a more subdued voice than I usually talk. And often I do the show on the couch in the living room. That seems right. It's a pretty fair distance away from both of the bedrooms. But for tonight, for some reason, it just seems to be bothering me to sit there. So I'm trying to walk through the house and find it's too cold to go outside. Generally if I'm here in the summertime, I'll just sit on the back porch and that takes care of it. But, I don't know. Just don't want to disturb anybody. First, do no harm. One thing that does work in my favor is my mother and father are both in their 70s, and they don't hear very well. But they hear well enough. At least my mother does. My father, I'm not sure. But anyway, here I am, ready to do my show. So I guess I better think of something to talk about. You didn't get to hear my opening, which I usually play when I'm in the home studio. And it just says that, I made some sacred smoke and offered it to the four directions. Didn't actually do that tonight because, again, I'm away from the home base. But while I'm in the show, I consider myself to be in ceremony. So if you care to join me on that basis, all it means is that this show is part of my religion and offers... theoretically, anyway, offers some protection against certain elements within the government and private industry to seek to suppress certain things, certain elements of, I use the word elements twice there, I hate to do that. Anyway, the things that we talk about on this show, and sometimes we get into native or spirituality or what's the better word for that I'm trying to use now. Oh, my brain just doesn't work anymore. And if that is a concern, let's just leave off. You've heard the disclaimer before. If you haven't, you can tune in next week and hear the disclaimer. Actually, no, you can't. Let me cover that. Next week, there might not be a show because I have to work at my day job. I'm covering for somebody who's on vacation. I don't normally work on Friday evenings, but on this particular next Friday, I do have to work on Friday evening, so there isn't going to be a show. There will be a show the next week. So the next week, it would be, January 24th? If you want to know all about the Native American spirituality and all that, you can tune in and hear my disclaimer with the drum music behind it that I'm so proud of that I usually play before the show. But can't because I'm not at home right now. So there's that. So I made that announcement. I can check that off my list. What was the other place I was going to go before I redirected myself? I thought, well, let's just do this. I had kind of a busy day today. I had some government-related paperwork to fill out, mostly, let's say ADA, if that's not right. ADA is Americans with Disabilities Act. What's the hell? ACA, Affordable, no, AHA. What is it? Affordable Health Care Act? What is it? I don't know. They call it Obamacare. I don't want to call it that. But, yeah, I'm trying to fulfill my responsibility to my government by signing up for health care. And finally, after some struggles with the website, I was directed to apply for Medicaid through my state. So I did that today. I had to print out some documentation and fill out some paperwork and stuff an envelope and send that off to where it needs to go to. So we'll see where that's going to go. And then from there, I took off to my daughter's house. We're trying to start a thing there. I'm going to go there for dinner every Friday because she says I don't see them enough. And she's right, I don't. I mean, for as, you know, as close as we live, one would think that I would get over there more. And, you know, it's both of us are just trying to merge our schedules. And, you know, my granddaughter's here, so it's always fun to see my granddaughter, too. So we're trying to make this an event, a regular part of our schedule every Friday. Of course, I'm not going to be able to do it next Friday because I have to work. And I kind of was trying to get my daughter to shift to Wednesdays, which is really a better night for me, but she has to work on Wednesdays. So unexpectedly, she wasn't going to have to work on Wednesdays. So we went and we're having, I guess it's going to be a taco night because that's what we had last week. And that's what we had tonight was tacos, which is fine. I like tacos. So sat at the table with my granddaughter for a while, and she was watching Dora the Explorer. And I'm going through the new words that she's added to her vocabulary. Spicy, she says spicy now. And then, as usually happens when I get there, she's fairly cheerful for a little while, and then she starts to get tired because it is kind of late for her. So she was kind of cheerful, and we had some fun, and then she got tired, and she got kind of cranky, and she went to bed. And then it was me and my daughter and my son-in-law who shared some dinner and some conversation for a couple of hours. And then I hopped into my car and drove to my parents' house because my mother helps me out with some financial matters. I have since I was in the hospital back in 2007, I asked her to take over certain parts of my to make sure that, you know, things like my rent and utilities and so forth got paid. And it ended up being convenient for me, and she likes to do it, so we just continue that, and I make sure I get up here. This is a good thing. First of all, it's a good thing for me to get up here and see my parents. But second, I get up here about every month, so I can take care of that business. So that's been my Friday. I'm here. The weather's been good, thank goodness. It's been a terrible week for weather all week, but on this one day when I did have to do some appreciable amount of driving, the weather has been okay, a little bit of drizzle, not too bad. So, gosh, welcome to the worst show I've done in a while. Oh, goodness. This always happens with the cell phone shows because they just don't feel free to talk. I'm always thinking that somebody's going to pop their head around from the hallway into the living room. And Mud Toad is going to have to explain himself. And I'm not good at explaining myself. Did you hear me start pretending that I'm talking to a woman? How are you, honey? I know if you hear me do that, then you know that somebody has walked into the room. If you don't ever hear me do that, then I guess we've gotten away with this. I'm going to be having a busy, I noted that I have to work the next Friday when I normally don't have to work. I'm going to be actually working. How I have it figured? Between covering vacation for this other person at my regular day job, And also I've been called in to my other job at the university to work a few days. I'm going to be working 12 days in a row, which from a money standpoint is a good thing. From an emotional health standpoint, not such a good thing at all. I had to postpone counseling appointment. Counseling probably not quite as important to me as it was, would have been, say, you know, missing a counseling appointment 2 years ago. Missing a counseling appointment would have been a disaster. Now, because the counseling has taken on a technical aspect, it's lots of cognitive behavioral therapy. So just there, I get homework assignments and things, and examining, you know, my own thinking and how I think and how I come to conclusions and why I act the way I do and so forth. And it's something I've become very used to. So I'm not stretching myself in the therapy. There isn't, I don't want to put this, it's not that I don't trust this person I'm doing therapy with. I don't really feel I know her, you know, especially since her approach to the whole thing has been so technical. I just do this, fill out this paper, let's talk about this, you know, that kind of thing. It's useful. I mean, the exercise is useful. I learn things and I enjoy it. But getting down to the nitty-gritty of how I'm feeling and what's been going on in my head, it doesn't really happen anymore. But I find that that's okay. I'm finding other outlets for that. Although one of them has been sort of cut off, I don't get to see Iggy near as much as I used to. This isn't a secret anymore. I saw the announcement. Iggy, as you know, again, longtime listeners will know, my friend Iggy had a restaurant around the corner from me. Family members are taking over that restaurant from him so that he can focus on spiritual matters, one of which is the operation of this channel, the With Insights radio channel. So that's, I'm sure for him, that's a good thing, and I'm very happy for him. The downside for me is I just don't get to see him near as much. So I don't know if he's going to be hanging when it does reopen, if he'll be hanging around the restaurant so much, I tend to doubt it. So I'm going to have to put some effort into finding a time and a place that I can hang out with him, because our conversations are very important to me, and I do miss that very much. You know, there obviously are things I can talk with him about that I'm not going to broach with, say, my daughter. You know, that's not going to, or my parents. My brother, maybe. I don't know. We talk about things sometimes, but I don't see him a whole lot either. Just when I'm here visiting my folks. So, and amidst all that, I have the 12 straight days that I'm working. When I work, it's not that the work is too terribly strenuous, although I did have an interesting experience this past week, which maybe I'll loop back to. You know, generally, I work with developmentally disabled people in their homes. So it's basically, you know, I just do things that they, to help them out. You know, I work in a house with four young guys, and then occasionally I work in a different house with just one guy. But, you know, it's cooking and picking the place up and getting them, driving them places when they need to go places. You know, taking them to the grocery store or whatever and helping them manage their money. Stuff like that, stuff that needs to be done. And I'm very happy to do it, and I'm proud to do it, and I think I do it pretty well. The main problem with it just doesn't pay very well. And I'm not getting enough hours. Well, I was going to say I'm not getting enough hours to be able to pay all of my bills. Fact is, even if I was working 40 hours a week, I still wouldn't be making enough money to pay my bills. And my bills are not particularly extravagant. So you get the idea that this is not, you know, particularly well-paid work, as you might expect. You know, because a lot of funding comes from the government. You know, people are on, I guess there's insurance. I don't know, I probably shouldn't even get into this. There's probably all kinds of privacy issues that I'm treading on here, but that's the I mean, that's the work. And then when I'm at the university, that's called a standardized patient program, and that's where I'm pretending to be sick. They give me, it's at the medical school, and the doctors give me a list of symptoms to memorize. And then they send medical students to talk to me, and then I pretend to have the symptoms, and the medical students are supposed to figure out what's wrong with me. It's sort of a, you know, test for them before they, you know, before the doctors let the medical students loose on real people. They do this kind of dry run first, and that's fun too. Actually, that's I wish I could do that full time. That's a lot of fun. That gets me back into my acting chops, you know. I got to do, last time I did it, I was a guy who had had a kidney transplant, and they had painted a transplant star on my scar on my stomach, so that would be there when the medical student examined me. And the drama was that I had gotten sick. You know, I was feeling very ill, and so there was the issue of, is it a rejection? Is it, you know, what's happening with the transplant? And I wasn't told to do this, but it just felt right to cry at a certain point. I was becoming very frustrated and very scared. You know, that I was dying, not me, but this guy who, you know, had a kidney transplant. And I just burst into tears in the middle of it. It was cathartic in a way, and sort of, and very satisfying in a way to feel that, you know, I could enter into somebody's life to that level of intensity, you know, and I won't say reproduce, emote those kind of feelings. And you do it in a way that's not. I'm too quick to take on other people's emotions and other people's problems. This is kind of a way for me to enter into the experience of someone else without running that risk, because it's not a real person. Now, having said that, I have sometimes noticed that when I come home, I am still displaying the symptoms of the person that I was playing. They kind of, the role kind of follows me home. And that was problematic at an earlier time when I was often portraying a schizophrenic person. I was finding I'd get home and I was still acting like the schizophrenic person. So I asked, who did I ask? Was it Eric? One of my energy friends, anyway, just advised me to set up some sort of ritual. You know, that before I leave, and to get to try and get some sort of object and transfer, you know, my connection to, well, let me put it this way. A lot of times for these cases, I have to wear a gown, you know, like a patient would wear in a hospital. And then, you know, at the end of the day, I take the gown off and I put it in the hamper. Well, I mean, that's perfect. I can put the gown in the hamper, and then I say, you know, the character's name, you stay here. I'm done with you for today. You can stay here, and I'm going to go home. And that seemed to help a lot. It really cut down the instances of me staying the other guy. And I wish I had known that little technique while I was still doing a lot of acting, because I know that used to happen to me back then, too. I'd bring whatever character I was going through these very intense rehearsals, especially as the time for the performance approaches. And I used to like to play very negative characters. That's what I gravitated towards. And sometimes these truly evil people were coming home with me, and I found I was acting in strange ways towards the people who I was sharing the home with. So it was an effort for me to say, okay, no, this isn't me. You know, I'm not like. I was in Big River. I don't know if you're familiar with the show. It's a musical version of Huckleberry Finn. And the character I played is called the King. He's one of two con men that Huck and Jim run into when they're journey down the Mississippi River on a raft. And the beginning of the play, the King is sort of, he's just sort of a lovable dullard. But as the action develops, you learn that the King is a truly evil man who would, you know, he doesn't care. He would sell, you know, Jim back into slavery. He would, you know, blame his own thievery on Huck. He would do anything to get what he wanted. And I would find that sometimes I'd go through these rehearsals and I'd come home and sometimes I was being conniving with people, you know, when I got home. I was like, well, maybe we could do, maybe not over anything that mattered a lot, maybe a bigger sandwich or something like that. But I'd catch myself acting like the king, being him, wanting to be that cheater, that scoundrel, even worse than scoundrel, just be that. And I think that in a way there's always that feeling, what must it like to be like, to be bad? You know, it must be fun to be bad in a lot of ways. Because a person who's bad, I don't want to say that they don't realize they're being bad. I think most of the time they do. They just don't care. But what must it be like to not care that I'm being bad? To not, you know, feel that sort of tug of responsibility, or what's the word I'm looking for? Something like ethics, but that's not what I'm looking for. Well, anyway, that's that sort of tie to being a good person, that thing you've always been taught that you should be. And yet there doesn't seem to be any reward. You have to be, to be a, you know, good person, you have to want to do that and do that without really being recognized. And you see a lot of people say, well, I'm doing all this, I'm doing the right thing, and nobody seems to care. Well, yeah, that's pretty much the way it goes. You do the right thing and nobody seems to care. So you do the right thing for the sake of doing the right thing, not because you're getting a pat on the back for it. And, you know, I don't mean to seem all high and mighty because I've had that same reaction myself. But, you know, so my point was, what must it be like to not even care about that, to just take what you want and feel no sort of remorse, no sense of responsibility, let's say. That must be fun. I know, it's like trying to explore those kind of feelings without actually acting on them, because I don't want to ruin, you know, what's left of my life, what might be left of my life. By that I mean the extension of experience, not physical life. I mean, I hope to live a lot longer. I don't. While my memory seems to be failing me quite a bit lately, I don't. I do expect that I will live quite a bit longer, unless, you know, something unexpected happens. What I'm talking about is, I don't want to say useful life. That's not what I mean. I just remember the feeling, I'm almost 49 years old. I'll be 49 next month. And there's a feeling I really haven't done anything with that. And the chances I had to do something with my, you know, the youth and the energy, that's pretty much gone. You know, now I'm a middle-aged man, and, you know, whatever it is I'm going to do with the rest of my life, it's going to be done without a lot of the vigor I might have had if I had just gotten started when I was younger. But then there are a lot of reasons for that. A lot of misunderstandings between myself and myself, and misunderstanding of why I do what I do and what it is I was looking for, and what the experiences that Spirit put before me were all about. It's pretty much the story of the first 40 years of my life, 41, maybe I think of 42, up to the time of my epiphany, if you will, in 2007. Just a matter of misunderstanding what had been put on my plate and why it had been put there. And I won't claim to fully understand it at this point, but I realize the importance of striving to understand it, or at least learn something at each step on the way when I wasn't so concerned about that at an earlier time. You know, there were things, you know, literally things that I wanted. It was about things. It was about achievements, about material achievements, and credits, things I could put on my resume. That's what was important, not so much experience. And although I did get a lot of great experience during those years that I can now access and learn more about myself as I go forward. But I wasn't present at the time of the experiences. I don't have that sort of the depth of that experience wasn't, you know, laid down in my head in the detail and in the depth that it might have been if I had been, you know, paying attention. So that's part of my mission now, is to be paying attention when these messages come, when these experiences come along, and what does each thing that happens in my life, what does this have to teach me? When I'm stuck in traffic, what does it have to teach me? That's probably the toughest one for me right there, because, you know, the anger just wants to turn right back on as soon as I'm in traffic. Any serenity that I have achieved in my life is just gone when I'm stuck in traffic. And having the presence of mind to say when I'm in that traffic, okay, what am I learning from this? What's going on in my body right now? What's happening in me emotionally right now? What's driving these negative feelings that I'm having? I'm walking today. I love to walk. But my whole walk today, there's just all this negativity going on in my head. And I just didn't get where it was coming from. Just these, not even involving me so much as just sort of stories going on in my head. This is the way I sort of entertain myself, which is problematic if I'm trying to be present. But things of, you know, getting into fights, you know, and being in a, you know, in a boardroom, and everybody being against me, and I, you know, me getting up and walking out, you know, just lots of negativity. And I didn't really get that because of my, when I'm taking a walk, I'm usually much happier than that. I can think of, the things around me. I guess I was walking in the city as opposed to, you know, in the woods or something like that. So the energy there is different. And it was kind of a crappy day too, you know. It was gray skies and rain falling down, and I got splashed by a city bus. That was fun. I think actually that is, now that I think about it, that's sort of where the mood sort of turned. When I was walking along, just minding my own business, I had a binder with me because I was taking my stuff. I was actually taking my Medicaid application because there were some things I had to copy. And I don't have my copier, than my printer/copier/scanner that I got for Christmas. I haven't hooked the doggone thing up yet. So I had to walk down to FedEx Kinko's to get that done. And while I was walking, a city bus come up behind me, and, you know, there's some water standing on the road. You know how that works. And they run through that and splash that muddy water all over me. Wasn't as bad as it might have been because I saw it coming and was able to kind of jump out of the way. But I got... it was on my binder, it was on my pants. Just bring them, and some quite a bit of hostility directed towards the world in general. But still, even with that, I was able to get my business done. I was able to go and stop at a restaurant I used to like when I was working down on campus. I don't get down there so much anymore. I was able to stop and have a nice lunch and talk to the girls down there, and I ended up kind of turning that around. So a little bit of presence. I think I'm developing a little bit, slowly, the old dog, learning some new tricks. So we've come to the end of our half an hour together, just as I'm starting to pick up some momentum. Isn't that always the way? Again, no show next week. Sorry about that. Following week, we will be back in Mudtoe Studios, and hopefully I'll have something interesting to talk to you about. Thank you for listening, and have a good evening.